Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Tonight, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a story of romance. It's about two young lovers who have an ocean of loneliness between them until our lovely heroine receives her message for Karen. Folks from coast to coast, children are collecting Hallmark dolls. The reason is very simple. Collecting Hallmark dolls is fun because it brings favorite storybook characters to life. Let youngsters go adventuring in the magic land of make-believe. So decide tonight you'll treat the little folks you love to the fun of collecting Hallmark dolls. Remember, a sure way to make a hit with any youngster is to send a Hallmark doll every week. See them soon. Send them often. And now, to preside over our program, here is your Hallmark host, Tom Shirley.
Thank you, Dan Dalton, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Did you ever want to make $1 million or write the greatest book or even be president? Most of us do, at least once in our lives. Tonight we have a story that will reach right down into your heart, because it's about a fellow who had a dream like that. He hitched his whole wagon to it, while his best girl could only stand by and watch. It's a wonderful story with a surprise ending. And as I've watched the rehearsals today, I can tell you the performances are as fine as the story. Everett Sloan takes the part of Sven. Hester Sondergaard is Karen with the Golden Braids. And with them a cast of the best players on the air. So now, the green hills of Denmark, where I think you'll fall in love as you hear tonight's story, presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards and the Reader's Digest radio edition, A Message for Karen. In a small factory in the village of Gravling, Denmark, a young man in overalls stands beside a stamping machine, his hands idle. His thoughts many miles away.
Sven? Oh, Sven, you are dreaming.
No, Carl, not dreaming. I was singing the prologue of Pagliacci in my mind. It is glorious.
But where are my sockets? I am waiting for you to stamp them.
Oh, I am sorry. I will have them for you in a minute. Oh, you silly boy, Sven. Everything is music with you.
And why not? What is more beautiful than music?
To you, nothing.
But you are not an opera, young man.
You are working for your father in his electrical factory.
Only my hands are working, Carl, not me. I am in Milan on the stage of the La Scala Opera House. I'm in New York at the Metropolitan. In my dreams, I'm everywhere but here.
And why do you stay? Your father does not need you in this factory.
He wants me to learn a trade before he will send me to music school. But believe me, it will not be long. Today, I am an electrician. But tomorrow, I will be an opera star.
Karen! Karen, come to the door. I have wonderful news for you.
Ben, what has happened?
I am free, my darling. Free from my job.
What?
My father has agreed to send me to the conservatory in Copenhagen.
No, when?
Tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow. And if I sing well, I will go on to Paris and then to America.
Oh, Sven, how nice for you.
For me? For us, sweetheart. Don't you know what this means? If I become established as a singer in America, we can be married.
Oh, yes, I live only for that day, Sven. But it will be years before it comes.
Oh, not with a voice like mine. I will sing my heart out for you, Karen. I will study day and night until there is no more for me to learn.
Oh, darling, you talk like a little boy. Such a sweet little boy.
Believe in me, Angel. It won't take long. 2 years in America at the outside, and then we can have our whole lives together. If you will wait for me.
Sven, you know I will wait. For you, I will wait forever.
You
Karin. You'd better get off the ship now before it sails.
But just one more minute, Sven. It's all I will have for such a long time. America is such a big place. So far away. It frightens me.
I love you, darling.
As much as I love you.
It must be as much. There couldn't be any more.
Sven. Put your arms around me, darling.
Don't cry, Karin.
I can't help it. I won't know you over there. The kind of world you live in, the people you'll see, the things you'll do on Sunday afternoon when we would be walking in the park. Come back to me, sweetheart.
I will come back, Karin. I'll make good for you, too, because you believe in me.
I will always believe in you, Sven. You'll be a big opera star someday. And I will be very proud of you.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, my angel. Make good over this soon.
I will, Karin. How can I fail? America is the land of opportunity. Excuse me, I'm looking for Mrs. Cassidy's boarding house. You know where that is?
Well, not if you haven't got the address.
Oh, here. I have the number right here. Somebody aboard ship tells me I can get a good room there. Cheap.
Well, that's just around the corner, about two blocks up. You can't miss it.
Oh, thank you, madam.
You're welcome.
It's a great country, America. I step on her toe and she treats me with dignity.
Never mind all that malarkey. I get $4 a week for this room, and I get it in advance, Mr. Jacoby.
Jacobson. Sven Jacobson.
Okay, Jacobson. Don't make no difference to me as long as you got the $4.
But I have the $4, Mrs. Cassidy.
Well, why didn't you say so? I thought you were another one of those deadbeats. When you're running a theatrical boarding house, you see plenty of them.
Deadbeats?
You know what I mean, so-called opera singers. They come to my place from all parts of the world and try to become Carusos in 6 months. Then their money runs out and they hang me up for a big bill because they're ashamed to write home for more.
Ashamed?
Well, I guess they're ashamed. I never see them after the sneak out of here.
But what happens to these people?
Well, they go to work, I guess. What the heck? Everybody can't be in opera. Somebody's got to clean the streets.
Oh, well, I hope fortune will be kinder to me, Mrs. Cassidy. I have got to make good this time for many reasons.
You got a good voice?
I think so. I've got a wonderful girl, too. All I need now is a chance.
Well, you'll get that, Jacoby. You always do in this country. But don't think it'll be a pushover. America is nobody's oyster.
Dear Karin, it is almost a year since I held you in my arms that night on the ship when I went away. And although I haven't made as much progress as I originally expected, things have been going along very nicely, just as I wrote you in my last letter. Oh, come in. Oh, good evening, Mrs. Cassidy.
The rent's due, Jacoby. Can I have it, please?
Well, I haven't got all of it just now. I only have $3, but I expect...
Give me the three.
Yes, I have it right here. You see, only I...
Yeah?
Well, I thought you might let me keep one of these three for myself for food tomorrow. You see, I haven't had a job in a choir or a tabernacle or anywhere for over a month, and I...
Look, Jacoby, I got a soft spot in my heart for guys like you, but you've been shortchanging me for quite a while now.
Oh, don't worry, Mrs. Cassidy. I won't be a deadbeat. No matter what happens, I pay you sometime.
Okay, I'll trust you. For just one more week, and that's all. Do you understand?
Yes, Mrs. Cassidy.
Here, keep the $3 for yourself. I'll put it on the cuff.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Cassidy.
Don't mention it.
Dear Karin, things have been going along very nicely, just as I wrote you in my last letter. I have been singing in churches and tabernacles all over New York. And the outlook for the future
is a rosy one indeed. I have had several offers to sing out of town, but I feel my best opportunity.
Why are you crying, dear?
You were so happy a moment ago with your letter from Flynn.
His letter is what makes me cry, Mother.
Even though he's doing so well?
That's just it. He's not doing well, Mother. He just says so to keep me from knowing the truth.
Would he do that, Karen?
If things were bad, he would. That's why I'm worried about him. Things must be very bad. Or he wouldn't lie to me.
Well, how do you know he's lying?
I know Flynn. I know the way he thinks, the way he writes. If he were really doing well, he would not spend 2 pages telling me about an audition he's going to give for a small opera company in the Midwest.
Oh, but some of what he writes must be true. Otherwise, he would come back.
No, not Sven. He's too proud to come back. Especially if he's a failure.
Well, perhaps this audition he speaks about will turn out all right.
I hope so, Mother, for his sake, and for mine.
Fine. Thank you very much for your audition, Mr. Jacobson.
Is that all you're going to say? Just thank you very much?
Well, we have your name and address. We'll let you know if anything turns up.
Can't you let me know now?
Really, Mr. Jacobson?
I have got to know now. Don't you understand? I have 23 cents in my pocket and not another penny in the world. Do you like my voice or don't you? Tell me now.
Sit down, Mr. Jacobson.
Yes, sir.
You haven't been studying very long, have you?
About 4 years, but I have sung all my life.
Yes, I imagined you had.
What is wrong?
Nothing. You have a good voice, Mr. Jacobs. Not a remarkable one, but good enough to give you a satisfactory audition. Fortunately, however, satisfactory auditions are tragic in a way.
What do you mean?
Well, people rarely hire satisfactory singers. There are too many of them to choose from. Certainly very little reason to choose someone whose work isn't even known.
In other words, you wouldn't hire me. Nobody would hire me.
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but if you're down to your last 23 cents, you're going to have a hard time of it, young man. Your voice still needs training. And if nobody gives you a chance to sing, how are you going to get it?
I don't know. What do you think I should do?
Well, frankly, Jacobson, if I were in your place, I'd quit. Give it up entirely.
Stop singing?
Stop trying to make a living at it. I've seen too many young men give their whole lives scrimping, studying, starving, and for all their efforts have nothing in the end.
I see.
Isn't there anything else you can do, Jacobson?
Yes, I can be an electrician.
Be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's drama, presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. But now, let's eavesdrop on Peg and Grandpa. See what's going on.
Well, what's the matter, Peg? Besides, if you're a frown, you must have a big problem.
Well, Grandpa, I've been trying to think of something to take to Mary's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, Grandpa, you always think of something. Can't you help me out?
Mm-hmm. Let's see now, Peg. Well, what would you think of adding another Hallmark doll to Mary's collection? Seems I heard her say last week she could hardly wait till she got another one.
Of course. Why didn't I think of that? She's only got 4 Hallmark dolls, and she loves collecting them just as much as I do.
Well, let's go down to the store and pick one out. They got all 8 Hallmark dolls right in the window.
Oh, goody, Grandpa. Let's go right now.
Folks, your favorite Hallmark dealer has all the new Hallmark dolls. Why not stop in tomorrow and surprise your youngsters with a lovable Hallmark doll? They're greeting cards, but more, they're colorful, fascinating dolls the youngsters love to collect. There's Red Riding Hood, Boy Blue, Cinderella, and many other well-known storybook characters, all from the land of make-believe. Hallmark dolls stand 8 inches high, wear real plumes in their hats, and each looks as pretty from the back as the front. Then, inside each doll is a clever new version of a story youngsters already know, all done in rhyme. So start your youngsters collecting gay, colorful Hallmark dolls. They're only 25 cents each. See them soon, send them often. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy your Hallmark cards. Now back to Message for Karen.
Mrs. Cassidy.
Yes, come in.
Oh, hello, Jacoby. I was wondering when you'd come around.
I have some money for you, Mrs. Cassidy.
Well, that's a pleasant surprise.
Enough to pay up all the back rent and bring me up to date. You see, I'm leaving you today.
Leaving? What for?
I am going down to Richmond, Virginia for a while. I have a job down there.
Well, you finally landed an engagement, huh? Good for you. Is it an opera company or a church or what?
It's an electrical store. I'm quite handy at repairing appliances.
You mean you're not going to sing anymore?
Only for my own amusement. Others won't pay me for theirs.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it, Jacoby.
Well, it had to be done. I couldn't go on this way forever.
Of course not. You'll probably be much better off.
Perhaps.
Well, what's your address going to be in case I get any mail? I can send it down to you.
Oh, don't bother, Mrs. Cassidy. I won't want any mail down there.
What?
If the postman has any letters for me, just tell him my address is unknown.
Yes, Sven. I'm writing this note to tell you that we are moving away tomorrow. All my letters to you have been returned. Address unknown. But I must take this last chance. If ever you want to reach me or tell me what you have been doing, send your words to the Rangers National Park. Remember, on the 4th of July every year, they read messages aloud from relatives and friends who are living in America. It's part of the annual celebration. And people who have loved ones in the United States always go there in the hope of hearing from them. I will be hoping too, my darling. And from now on, I will be in Rabiel Park every 4th of July until your message comes.
Isn't there any message for me?
Karen Olsen?
Yes?
No, my dear. There's no message for Karen.
Harwood Electric. Sven Jacobsen speaking. Yes, Mrs. Rotary. Oh, I imagine we can rewire it for you. How soon? Why, I'll come over there right away. Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Rothery.
Go on, finish it. It's very pretty.
Well, I didn't mean to be singing in your home, Mrs. Rothery. I was finished with the wiring, and I was waiting for you to come back before...
Oh, you don't have to apologize, young man. Are you interested in music?
Yes, I... That is, I used to be. Well, if you need me for anything else,
Just call me at the store. My name is Sven Jacobson.
Forgive me for being so inquisitive, Mr. Jacobson, but your manner of speech is so fascinating. I'm curious to know what part of the world you come from.
A place called Grevling, madam.
Grevling? Denmark?
Yes. My folks still live there, I believe. My father owns a small electrical factory on the outskirts of town.
Well, now, isn't that a coincidence? My husband and I are going to Denmark next month, and Grevling is one of the towns we plan to visit.
Oh, I didn't know. I wouldn't have... I mean...
Yes?
Mrs. Watery, if you should go to Grevling, I beg you not to tell my parents or anyone else that you have seen me.
Well, what's the matter, Mr. Jacobson?
Please, please, promise me that you will not tell.
Very well. I promise I won't tell a soul, but I won't promise not to go to Grevling.
And on the right, we have the Grevling Museum.
Oh, guide, what's this building on the left?
Oh, that's just a factory, madam. Johannes Jacobson, electrical supplies.
Electrical supplies? Jacobson.
Yeah, Johannes. He's dead, poor man. His wife, too.
Oh, I see.
You knew him?
Well, I seem to have heard something about them somewhere. What happened to their family?
They just had one boy, Sven. He went to America about 10 years ago. And after the first year, no one ever heard from him.
Really? I wonder why.
Well, he always wanted to become an opera star. But he must have failed as a professional singer and was too ashamed to admit it.
Oh?
Yeah, it's a tragedy, madam. His fiancée is still in love with him.
Where is she?
Yeah, I don't know. We lost track of her when she moved away from Grevling. But I'm sure she's still waiting for him somewhere.
Would you mind turning around now and driving me back to the hotel?
Well, what's the matter, madam?
Oh, nothing. I'll be out again later on. But first, I have to write a letter. Ben Jacobson, I made a promise to you, and I've kept it here in Grevling. However, I did find out that you made a promise, too, about 10 years ago, and you didn't keep it. The girl who made that promise, you made that promise to, may still be waiting for you, somewhere in Denmark. And if you know where she is, or how you can find her, you must make every effort to do so, whether you care about her or not. It's not fair.
What's the matter, Sven? Get a bill from the government or a summons to appear in court? Your face is long enough for either one.
I don't think I can work this afternoon, Mr. Harwood.
What? Well, what's wrong? Bad news in the letter?
No, good news, really. It just hit me in the pit of my stomach, and I feel as if I'm going to cry if I don't get away from here.
Sven, that...
Believe me, Mr. Harwood, I can't stay here anymore. My heart is 3,000 miles away.
A message from Hagar and Peter Oxford, formerly from Silverbury. Greetings to Ladies July 4th celebration, to our families and to all our old friends.
He's read all the messages. I know, Mother. Another year gone. Another year wasted. I'm not going to let you come here anymore, darling. I'm not going to...
Message for Karen. Message for Karen.
What?
Sven Jacobson from Richmond, Virginia is here. And gives information about the girl who was Karen Orison of Grevling.
Here, Mother, he's waiting for me to get from.
Hurry, Karen. Go to
me. In a minute, Mother, in a minute. I haven't got the breath to take me. Hello, Sven.
Hello, Karen.
I knew you would come back someday.
You said you would.
I said I would do a lot of things I never did, darling.
You came back. This is all I care about.
And you waited for me, didn't you, dear?
I said I would.
Oh, Karin, I've wanted so many times to write you, but I was afraid you would be married to somebody else.
Don't you know me better than that, my sweetheart?
I guess I don't know you at all. I never expected you to be here this afternoon, and when you didn't come down after the message was read, I was sure I had lost you.
Never, Sven.
What kept you so long, darling?
Was it long?
It seemed like a lifetime to me.
Well, not to me, Sven. After you waited for 10 years, a quarter of an hour doesn't seem like anything at all.
See, it all turned out well, even if Svend had to substitute one dream for another. With our good wishes to Karen and Svend, go our thanks to Hester Sondergaard and Everett Sloan and the cast for their fine performances. I think Svend would appreciate something I came across not long ago in the Reader's Digest. It was written by Aldous Huxley, who said, "Experience is not what happens to a man. It is what a man does with what happens to him."
Folks, Hallmark dolls are the newest, gayest things for your youngsters' parties. Use them as table decorations, favors. Give them as prizes for party games. You'll find Hallmark dolls add an extra touch of excitement, and they're fun for the youngsters long after little guests take them home. So get Hallmark dolls for party. Remember to buy them for any occasion. They give a lot of pleasure, yet cost very little. You see, Hallmark dolls are only 25 cents a piece. So be sure you send them often.
This is Tom Shirley inviting you to be with us again 2 weeks from tonight for another fine dramatic program presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards.
Message for Karen was dramatized by Robert Sloan from Agnes Rothery's article in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. This is Dan Donaldson speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy Hallmark cards. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. For Robert Marshall in The Man Called X, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is the WBC.